everyone. Welcome to our podcast. My name is Shanika Habib. I'm here with Brian Harnett and Adam Goldsmith. We're going to be talking to you a little bit about food insecurity and how it's impacting agriculture as well as health in the U.S. So I'm just going to hand it off right now to Brian.
Hi, Shanika and Adam. Happy to be here. We currently have an existing problem of food insecurity in the world, but there's a strong potential of that being exacerbated by climate change in the coming years. So currently, about 1 in 9 people in the world are undernourished, with over 1 billion experiencing nutritional deficiencies. And over time, agricultural production and quality of agricultural products are expected to decrease as a consequence of climate change, which has the potential to contribute to food insecurity around the world. And in an increasingly globalized food economy where we depend on global trade and on other countries, as climate change gets worse, we're expected to see global food shortage on a major scale. So the way in which climate change is affected, the way in which climate change affects agricultural production, some examples are rising sea levels that can have the potential to encroach on agricultural land, higher CO2 levels, which are associated with lower iron and zinc levels, and higher sugar levels in crops, which makes them less nutritionally dense than otherwise. Increasing temperature, for example, one degree Celsius increase results in a 10% decrease in crop yield. So with every increase in a degree, we're gonna see less and less yield. And in addition, more intense, more frequent temperature spikes have the potential to cause total crop failure. All this together can result in food insecurity, unaffordable food, food deserts, and that has the potential to contribute to chronic diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, those are all great points, Brian. So I think there's a couple routes I want to go with that. First is that the way that food insecurity contributes to chronic diseases has been pretty rigorously studied. And a major study had recently come out that basically talks about how the people affected by food insecurity have validated biomarkers that really only occur as a result of that and contribute to those chronic diseases. So the increasing levels of CRP, which is a common stress protein in the body, has been found to be elevated in people who are particularly struggling from food insecurity. Now, in those same studies, it was kind of interestingly found out that the people who were affected the most by food insecurity also happened to fall into the poorest households when they were stratified by socioeconomic status. And it is important to note that places like Camden, as well as other low socioeconomic areas, are at significantly higher risk of these impending changes to the climate that do contribute to food insecurity and, again, negatively impacting human health. So another important factor of the whole puzzle is that the actual activities of food systems are kind of a root of the problem in and of itself, and that's especially in the U.S. So we're the highest per capita country that per capita consumption of meat and dairy country, and the meat and dairy industries in particular are the ones that contribute to that increased greenhouse gas emission, where livestock production is actually somewhere around 14.5% of all the global greenhouse gas emissions. So we're causing the problem as well as we're suffering from the problem. And Where we're seeing this a lot is in these specific vulnerable areas of the food production system. So like everything that Brian was talking about, where our water is going to be affected, where flooding, rising sea levels can inundate agricultural lands, making them no longer viable. Increasing heat can negatively affect livestock, as well as contribute to spoilage, contamination, and an increase in kind of these extreme weather events could damage the actual infrastructure needed to distribute the food materials. And so what we're expecting to happen is kind of this increasing problem with delivery of food, production of food, all contributing to higher cost. If we have a higher cost of food, then not only are the people who are already low socioeconomic status going to be affected, but people who may have been on the cusp are now also going to be impacted too. So there's a lot of urgency to this problem. And Shanika, I think, can talk a little bit more about what we can do to improve it.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to talk a little bit about some solutions to these very big problems. And I just want to reemphasize that this really is a public health crisis that's contributing to climate change, but also being caused by climate change. So the first solution is sustainable agriculture. So there is a program called the U.S. Food Waste Challenge that was established by the USDA and the EPA. And the purpose of this program was to assess information about the best ways to reduce, recover, and recycle food loss and waste. It's also teaching farmers how to minimize food waste at the source, as well as practice sustainable farming. And then going back to what Adam was saying about the meat and dairy industry, and the huge impact it has on climate change, I think the movement towards plant-based food production as well as consumption could make an incredible difference. So the second solution is investing in access to fresh food in food deserts. So I'm going to reemphasize as well that food deserts exist in geographically isolated areas where mostly ethnic and racial minorities live, as well as low-income groups. So one cause of this is that the U.S. food market has moved from locally owned and operated grocery stores to larger supermarkets. So in places where supermarkets don't exist, for example, in Camden, where I live, people don't have access to groceries and unprocessed foods, and that's negatively impacting their health. Even in high minority, low income areas that do have supermarkets, there actually is less availability of fresh groceries and unprocessed foods there. So this is just an issue overall. One big solution to this is that the government could invest in locally owned and operated grocery stores in order to demonopolize larger supermarkets and make sure that local residents are actually having access to affordable food that is actually healthy. And then on the individual level, I think if we all make an effort to shop at more local grocery stores than bigger supermarkets, then we are contributing to the perpetuation of these small businesses that are providing for these vulnerable groups. And then the third solution I have is limiting food waste and redistributing food. So food waste is a huge threat to the environment. Approximately 11% of all greenhouse gas emissions that come from food could be reduced by eliminating food waste in America. So individual changes are, you know, the usual: buying only what you need, planning ahead for meals, freezing fresh food that's not going to be eaten, as well as sharing food that you can't finish. And then on the other hand, there are systemic changes. So the issue is that supermarkets don't lose money by wasting food based on, you know, them just having a few blemishes, because it's the distributors and farmers that actually take the hit. So a solution is that some supermarkets are moving towards selling less attractive produce instead of throwing away the food. And we could incentivize companies, or the government could help incentivize companies to take part in this in order to minimize waste. There are also a lot of organizations that are working against food waste, and companies as well. For example, Imperfect Produce is distributing food at a lower cost that isn't the most like aesthetically attractive, but is just as good and could be cooked and eaten just like any other produce. So ultimately, there are a few different ways that we can solve the issue of food insecurity. But in the end, the overarching goal is to stop climate change in order to prevent this issue by being further exacerbated for the sake of all of our health. And we really need to break this cycle of climate change impacting agriculture and then food waste further exacerbating climate change in order to solve this public health crisis. So that's all we have for you today.